Some people ask, how can you believe God for a building? I said, she said yes. If God can do that,
miracles.
I got faith for anything.
I got a wife.
Amen.
I got a wife. And she still hasn't come to her senses. Man, I'm so honored to be here today. And this is home for me. Some of you, it's been 11 years, so some of you, I'm a guest. You don't know me. But I want you to know I'm an OG.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm an OG. I've been in this church longer than Hugh Laybourne.
What?
I was dedicated by the pastor before Hugh Laybourne. I don't remember anybody else but Hugh, but I was dedicated by the guy before Hugh. So it feels so good to come home. And I just, from a pastoral perspective, I just want you to know how amazing it is what Kevin is doing. Not a lot of pastors would give up a Sunday and give up your giving to someone else. So you have an amazing pastor who's kingdom-minded. I know you guys have a lot of vision, and a lot of vision means a lot of needs. And so I'm touched and honored to even be here and get to do this. But I do want to quickly remind you, because I'm an OG, I know the identity of this church. I know the words that have been spoken over this church. I know who you're called to be. And I'm just here to remind you of who you are. I can remember years and years of words about this place being a warehouse church, a resourcing church. In the Christianese world, we say it's an Antioch church. You are called to resource and supply the kingdom. And so today, I'm just asking you to be who you are. I'm not asking you to be anything more, anything less. This is who you are, and I'm evidence of who you are. I am your crown. Paul says that about some of the churches that he planted. He said, you're my crown. I'm your crown. And I am who I am because you are who you are. So I just am so grateful to be here. But I do, I said before church, I love preaching, probably too much. And that's why I'm watching the clock. I've never been more nervous than I am this weekend. Because talking about raising money is awkward. And talking about money is awkward. And a lot of people do it in really unhealthy, manipulative ways. Just turn on your Christian TV. I'm here to tell you that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. You know, every once in a while I'll get a no from somebody when I ask. And I just, a pastor of a church that we love, we reached out and this just didn't work out. And my reply email was, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's got this. So my hope is not in River City to push us over the top. My hope is in Jesus. And I just want you to know that. I do care about my church. So I'm going to preach passionately and tell my story passionately today because I love my people. And this is God. And so please don't give me some grace and don't mistake my passion for any kind of manipulation or anything. My trust is in God. I'm just inviting you to ask if you're the means through which he wants to perform the miracle. A scripture that I've been sharing with people when I talk to them about this is out of Esther, the most famous scripture in Esther. We know the second half, right? Where Mordecai is calling Esther to step up and intercede on behalf of the people, to help out. There's a plan to wipe out the people. Esther, maybe you're the one who's supposed to step in the gap and fill in the need. But we all know the second part, right? For such a time as this. But listen to the first part. He says, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. If God isn't moving you to give to the refuge, deliverance is coming from somewhere else. It's going to be okay. God is in this. I've seen too many miracles. We've gone too far for him to take us back. He's going to do it. That's not the question I'm asking myself. I'm asking myself, you're like a doorknob I'm jiggling. God, is this the doorknob you want to use? Is this where you want to go? And if he's got another plan, awesome. So the pressure is on Jesus. He's the one who builds his church. But I am going to cast vision. I'm going to share, and I'm going to provide opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak to you, because I believe God is in this. And if God is in this, it's really good for you to be a part of stuff that God is doing. And I'm here to give something to you. I'm so full of faith for you. I truly believe God wants to do something amazing in this church today. I walk around our new building 7 times a day, really early in the morning. I do it early in the morning because I'm a chicken and I don't want anybody to see me, like the police. But I've been praying. One lap of my walk is, God, what do you have for River City? And I believe God has breakthrough for this church today. I think God wants to deposit a faith inside of you and a spirit that embraces the risk and adventure that Jesus has for you. There's some of you that maybe have slipped into coast mode, and God is going to wake you up today. So I have my master's degree in social work, and I did a little bit of counseling. I'm really bad at it, so don't ask me to. I'm not a good counselor. But in counseling, we had this technique, and maybe you've heard of it. It's the miracle. Sorry, Mike. We have this thing called the miracle question. You ever heard of the miracle question? This is the miracle question. I'm gonna bring Jesus into the miracle question. But I want you, seriously, maybe we should close our eyes, and I want to ask you this question. If Jesus walked into this room this morning and did a miracle in your life, what would be the first thing you would notice that would be the clue that God did, that he did a miracle? If Jesus walked in this room and did a miracle in your life, I think God wants to do a miracle in your life today. I actually think, I say this to our church all the time, I don't think it's up to God whether or not we have a God encounter every day. I think he's eager to encounter you today. I think it's up to me whether I encounter Jesus today. Am I going to position myself? Am I going to say, Lord, I'm ready for a miracle today? This is not just another Sunday. Well, it's up to you if it's just another Sunday. But I have faith enough for the both of us. God wants to rock your world today. So I'm just going to share testimony of what God has been doing in our church. This whole campaign, this whole thing we're on of God inviting us to go after this building is rooted in Joshua 1:2. This is a scripture God used to speak to me. This is the Israelites have been delivered out of Egypt. They came to the promised land, sent in the spies. Spies came back. 10 guys didn't have faith. 2 did. And they voted. And the 2 were outvoted. And so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because the people didn't believe they could go in and take the promised land. And now we're at this transition stage. It's time. It's finally time. And God comes to Moses, or to Joshua, and he says this, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. So there's some things I've been learning on this journey. I felt the Lord calling us and saying, it's time to rise and go. It's time to rise and go. I think rise has to do with our perspective, and go has to do with taking action. And we've learned some things. First, if we're going to rise and go, we got to change our posture. We had Kevin come over during the COVID weird time. And we did church unique. We were like looking at, okay, who are we as a church? What are our values? And there was one value. I said, risk is our posture. And all the other values that we kind of came up with, it's like, yeah, that's who we are. Risk is our posture was one that I said, that's who we're supposed to be. I'm not sure it's who we are. And so on this journey, we've been embracing, okay, this is our value. We're a people of risk. And if you're going to rise and go, you've got to change your posture. You've got to take on a posture of risk. And so if you're going to be people who walk into the promised land, you have to say, okay, I'm taking on a posture of risk. God says to Joshua, Moses is dead. Moses is dead. That good thing I gave you, the deliverer that came from me, is dead. I find it interesting because this is the story of Israel. Do you know how they ended up in Egypt? Egypt was God's provision for them during a famine. And then there was a season where the very thing God used to bless them enslaved them. And now God is coming to Moses and he's saying, hey, that really good thing I gave you to deliver you, dead. It's a new wineskin season. It's time to embrace something new. Joshua, you're the man, and it's time to rise out of the good thing of the past and step into the new thing. It's time to rise and go. You got to take a posture of risk. It's a change posture. My kids love sports. I love sports. And in every sport, it's funny how in every sport, there's the same basic fundamental called the ready position. Knees bent, feet shoulder width apart, hands open. I can play baseball from this position. I can wrestle from this position. I can play basketball from this position. I could play football from this position. I mean, not anymore, but I could have. It's a ready position. I'm on the balls of my feet. I'm ready for the ball to be snapped. I'm ready to receive the pass. I'm ready for the invitation to step out of the boat and onto the water. I see Peter in the boat in the ready position. Jesus, if you'll invite me, I'm ready. It's a posture. Some of you in this room, I say, hey, let's take a risk posture. And you're like, I'm game. Let's find an airplane to jump out of. Like, you're like, risk? Yeah, that's my middle name. I want to talk just a minute. I want to encourage you. There's a way to have wisdom and risk. There is a way to have wisdom and risk. First, I ask myself, is the risk I'm feeling like I'm supposed to take, is it biblical? Like, yeah, okay. Is it biblical? Second, does it line up with the overall path that God has had me on in my life? The purpose that God has spoken over to my life over time? Or is this something that's completely contrary to all the stuff God's been doing in my life? And third, what do the people who have authority to speak into my life think about this risk? And so as a church, we embraced all three of those. And we said, okay, is this a biblical thing? Yeah. I think God wants his children to have a home. I think he wants a building where people can come and encounter his presence and his love and his mercy and his grace. This is biblical. Does it line up with what God has spoken over the church? Absolutely. We'll get into that later. We say, yeah, we really believe God has spoken this over the church. And then what do people who have authority to speak to our lives think? And one of the first things I did was call Kevin and Dave Wells and people I have a relationship who are authority in my life and say, hey, I've got this opportunity. Would you pray into it for me? What do you think? But risk, oftentimes, just like with the Israelites, looks like leaving something comfortable for something you haven't seen yet. Something unknown. Moses, my servant, is dead. Most of the time, the thing we're asked to leave isn't a bad thing. It's just not the next thing. It's funny, the building that we lost in the flood, which I do find it very prophetic or ironic or whatever you want to say, that I'm here this weekend. I grabbed Kevin's newspaper. Heavy rain triggers flooding. And I'm like, yeah, and the flooding triggers me, okay? The building we had was out of town, out in the middle of a field, nowhere. We owned 13 acres out in the middle of nowhere. Beautiful. We loved it there. In fact, I think I have a picture of my kids. It was our first home. When we moved to Walla Walla, this was our home. We lived at the church. And the kids had motorcycles. They'd ride around on the 13 acres and get into all kinds of trouble. I look at that picture and I want to cry because I love those kids and I love that time. As dysfunctional and as weird as it was to be out in the middle of nowhere and have who lives in a church, I loved it. It was my home. It was comfortable. But God had something new. And I found out from the people, actually, after the flood, all the people that were there before me, they told me, yeah, actually, for decades, the pastor had been saying, I feel like God's telling us we're supposed to move. But the people didn't want to move because it was comfortable. Yeah, they were not growing because they were out of town, too far away from the people and all that, but it's comfortable. It's our home. Moses delivered us from Egypt. It's comfortable. It's God's blessing. God did all kinds of miracles for our church to buy that building. But God had something new. And he was a little less subtle with us than he was with the Israelites and Joshua. He just said, Joshua, hey, Moses is dead. Time to move on. With us, it's like, hey, your building's destroyed. Time to move on. There it is. This was a once in 200 year flood. Yeah, there was no going back. That was February of 2020. Most of you live in Idaho, so I'll tell you something that happened in March in the rest of the world. We had this thing called COVID. Yeah, you've heard of it. Yeah, so 3 weeks after that, what I'm proud of is we never missed a Sunday. We grabbed our stuff out of there and we did church on Sunday. But 3 weeks after that, everything shut down in the state of Washington. And we're reeling, going, okay, God, what are you saying? I think he's saying Moses is dead. But we embraced a brisk posture. And we said, okay, we're open to something new. And can I just tell you, as a church, there's a benefit to being a people who embrace risk. Our church has never been more alive. Our people are so excited. Everybody's like, can't wait to come every week to find out what God is doing now. Like, everybody's praying and we have somebody fasting and praying every day of the week. Like, we are on fire right now because we're in this posture of risk. I had someone in the church once tell me, Nathan, when you're confident and you're taking risk, I want to follow you. Be a bold leader. Husbands, fathers, pastors, be a bold leader. It's inspiring. It's where you're called to live. Somebody asked Tommy Barnett. Tommy Barnett's he's a retired pastor of a large church in Phoenix, and him and his son started the Dream Center in LA. Maybe you've heard of the Dream Center. Tommy Barnett is retired, and he gets asked at a conference, what would this Tommy Barnett tell Tommy Barnett that's starting in ministry? If you could go back and talk to young Tommy, what would you say to young Tommy? He said this, I would tell young Tommy to take more risk because every time I took a risk, God came through. And I have this thought, what if one day we're going to get to heaven and we get to see God had all these answers to prayers he was waiting for us to ask? He had all these miracles he wanted to do, but they were on the other side of risk that we weren't willing to take. How many blank checks are sitting in heaven waiting for you to say, God, call me out of the boat. I'm going to take a risk. So I'm telling you today, God is inviting you to take on the posture of risk, the ready position. Lord, you speak, I'll go. The second thing that we've learned in this process is that if risk is our posture, our anchor is God's word. And I don't just mean the Bible. Hopefully that goes without saying that we are Bible people. But I mean, Jesus said man doesn't live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I believe God still speaks. I believe he's always speaking to his people. And you want to know who's happy that his father was always listening for a new word from God? Isaac. Because God gave Abraham a word to sacrifice Isaac. And then God gave Abraham another word to stop. God is always speaking and directing. And it's been so fun on this journey to be led by the Holy Spirit. I am not a real estate expert. I'm a horrible negotiator. I get really nervous and I just want to like make the deal. And so I can't do the game and play tough, and I don't have a poker face, all of that. I'm not good at it. I don't know all the moves that we should make. So what I've been doing is I've been going to that building. When I'm overwhelmed, God, I don't know what to do. We made our first offer. They said it's so insulting, we're not even gonna counter. And I went to the building the next day and I said, God, I'm embarrassed. I'm discouraged. We made the best offer we could make and they said, no. What am I supposed to do? And I've heard him speak to me and he said, you just wait and you just pray. And we waited and we prayed. We did not come back with another offer. We said, okay, fine. We're gonna pray and raise money. And we waited and we prayed. And 2 months ago, they came back and took $650,000 off their asking price, came back around to our insulting offer. But I wouldn't have done that. That wasn't my wisdom. That was the Holy Spirit. And it starts before that. In 2020, we had the flood. And I reached out to some prophetic folks in another church. And I said, I need a word. We just lost our building. I need to know what God's saying, what he's doing. And she said, okay, I'll have my team fast and pray, and then we'll Zoom. And we did this Zoom call, and everybody, she didn't tell the team why they were fasting and praying for me. She just said, hey, this pastor in Walla Walla needs a word, fast and pray. And the team, we one by one, they'd sit in front of the laptop, and they'd give me a word, all of them really encouraging, nothing about a building. I'm going, yeah, that's great, thank you, but I need, you know. And then the last guy, he sort of pops his head like this, Jeff Barnhart. I could see up his nostrils from the camera. And he goes, Nathan, to be honest, I forgot we were praying for you today. I didn't know, I just happened to be, I forgot, sorry. But he goes, I'm just getting the sense that it's something about a building. And he said, I feel like God has a building for you in a very strategic location. It's sort of a hub where people come and go to this area. God's got a building for you in this strategic location. It's gonna be a place where people come and go from all over, and God is gonna resource you, and you're going to be a resource. There's gonna be all sorts of things that happen in this place. People are gonna come to your building for all sorts of different things and all of that. Anyway, he just has this word that just like read my mail and gave me direction. And I said, awesome, God, point me in the direction of that building. Didn't happen. A couple years later, we're at family camp, and we're praying at the end of a service, and I'm praying quietly, just me and God, and Dave Wells, former leader of our network of churches, comes up, puts his arm around me. He can't hear what I'm praying. He has no idea what I'm praying. I'm praying quietly to myself. He puts his arm around me, and he says, God, give Nathan a building. He has no idea. I didn't know he knew I needed a building. And he just began to give me this word, Nathan, it's time to be bold. And I said, Dave, I'm ready to be bold. Point me at the building. I'll go get it. Where is it? We're halfway through the process negotiating with these people, and our agent finds out that there's sort of like covenants on this building. There's a document that says things that you can and can't do with the building. One of the things that specifically says in the document is you can't have church in this building. Yeah, we're not in Idaho. And I said, so Diane, what's that mean? She goes, well, we'd have to make an amendment. So the other owners in our little plaza would have to agree on an amendment. And she said, I've got bad news. I reached out to Big Five. Big Five is the other store in our plaza, and said, hey, would you be open to making an amendment? They said, no. So we don't have a play here. We met with the title company, the guy at the title company. Hey, what is there something we could do? He goes, nah. I mean, you can reach out to them again, but it's a one in a, you're done. This is over. I reached out to a pastor in town. Pastor's the largest church in town. I said, okay, he probably knows somebody that can make something happen. I call him. He goes, you're done, Nathan. We had the same problem. We backed out of the purchase of a piece of land because same deal. You're done. I called Kevin. We're praying, and Kevin goes, I don't know, Nathan. I don't think you're supposed to give up. The sellers, a couple days later, the sellers contact my agent. We didn't even point out to them that those it said that in the covenants. We didn't want to raise it. We just, internally, we knew. We didn't go to them with it. We didn't. And they reach out to our agent because we had asked them about seller financing. And they said, here's the terms for seller financing. And oh, by the way, don't worry about that covenant. We're hiring an attorney. We're going to take care of it. That's on us. We're going forward. Total miracle. Last word, miracle thing. I was just recently here, about a month ago, we were preparing to make an offer. And we were a little too slow. And they reached out to us and said, hey, we've received a letter of intent from a national chain. A letter of intent is like an unofficial offer. It's all the terms of what they're offering, but it's just not the official document. It's a pretty serious thing. So I'm sitting there with the guys, and we got real, and I said, okay, if you're the seller and you have a national brand that says, let me write you a check right now for that building, and you have us saying, we're pretty sure we can maybe raise the money to buy the building. We could sell some cookies. We could get there probably. Who are you selling to? We need a miracle. And I asked for prayer again from a group, a prophetic group, on a Zoom call. God loves Zoom, I guess. And this lady sent me a personal message. She kind of missed the part of why they were praying for us. She had no idea about this Joshua theme or anything, but she sends me this message. She says, I want to give you a small encouragement. I fell on the call just now, but there wasn't an opportunity. I didn't catch what was happening before prayer, but while we were praying, I felt the Lord lead me to Joshua 10, 12 through 14, and felt impressed that your church is in a sun standstill moment. I believe the Lord is fighting for you. Just as the Lord caused the sun to stand still over Gibeon so that Israel could avenge their enemy, so God is pausing other offers to move yours forward. I really believe he wants to encourage you through Joshua 10. I felt there was an encouragement from the Lord to be steadfast in prayer, obedience, and fasting. Call on him and expect him to move in ways you hope and ways you've not yet discerned. We called a prayer meeting. We made our offer on Monday, called a prayer meeting Monday night. And that was a charged prayer meeting. I was real with the people. We need a miracle. There is no way in the natural we're getting this building. We prayed, went home. I don't understand it, but I feel like God's going to do it. I get up the next morning and I'm filling out a loan application for the financing for this building. And to be honest, I went to bed in faith and I woke up and I'm like, not sure Jesus is real. I don't know. I woke up bad. And I'm on my computer filling out this loan application. I'm going, what am I doing? What's the point? Why am I wasting my time with this application? Right. And I see my phone is sitting face up next to the laptop. I see it's my real estate agent calling. And I go, oh, good. I won't have to finish this application. And I answer the phone, hello. And she goes, Nathan, you won't believe it. They accepted your offer. And I just started to cry. Like, that's impossible. Are you sure? Our offer, not the other one. They know which, yeah. And I just, we have been led by the word of God. Yeah. Every time I felt like quitting, somebody calls me and says, hey, you're not supposed to quit. Ian Bird just called me randomly the other day. And I was at the brink of, God, I don't know what we're going to do. I said, Nathan, I just feel so strongly that you're supposed to fire every arrow in your quiver. Don't give up. You run across the finish line. Don't back out. Don't back out. God's going to come through in the last minute. I'm like, you have no idea how much I needed that word. And so the next morning at the building, I set my face. I said, God, I repent of my fickle heart my fleeting heart that blows with the wind. And this morning, I want you to know I'm setting my face like a flint. I don't care what my feelings say. I'm running across the finish line. If it's closing day and I still need $500,000, I'm showing up to my real estate agent's office because God's about to do a miracle. I'm done questioning you. And that's where I'm at today. The third point here, I'll speed up here, is the weapon of prayer. Joshua and Caleb fought for the promise. I love the conversation Joshua has with the angel before they go into Jericho. I see that as Joshua kind of going away into the quiet place and seeking God before they engage. And in prayer, he gets this strategy that no person in their right mind would come up with. In this process, I've learned that 2 Corinthians 10:4 is true. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. I've learned that prayer moves God and God moves mountains. I believe in the sovereignty of God, but I also believe in his covenant partnership with me and that my prayer moves his heart. And he does things when I pray. I don't know why, but he does. That moment I shared where Dave Wells came, put his arm around me and said, God, give Nathan a building. The reason I was praying as the message at family camp was, it's time to pray the prayers you've stopped praying. And I stood in that building. It was 2 years after I had the prophetic word about a building. I stood up in that at family camp and I said, God, I'm so sorry. I got so caught up in the day-to-day, I stopped believing you for this. I stopped stewarding this word. And I'm here to rekindle that. Lord, give us a building. Give us a building. And Dave came, put his arm around me, and he said, God, give Nathan a building. Are there prayers that you have stopped praying? You have some prayers that you have stopped praying that God has made you a promise. Whether it's your children, whether it's your finances, your marriage, ministry, your future, has God spoken something over your life and it's gotten so hard and so difficult and so dark that you've just stopped praying that prayer? Can I say on behalf of God, it is time to start praying again the prayers that you've stopped praying? It's an honor to be on a faith journey with Jesus. It's an honor to be in risk. It's such an honor. We have a spirit-filled real estate agent, which is good because we're asking her to do really crazy stuff. And we were at our building the other day for an inspection and we were walking around the side and I have worn a path through the grass at this point. It's been a year of 7 times a day, Monday through Friday. And we're standing there looking at the grass. And I said, I'm going to miss these days. God speaks to me there. I have fallen in love with prayer. I just love talking to Jesus. And I love him talking to me. And I love doing business with Jesus. And then watching him work. Church, I want to invite you to a life of faith and risk. It's time to pray the prayers that you've stopped praying. As we close, I want to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit, am I in a ready position? Have I lost my appetite for risk? I want to ask you, what has he spoken over your life? What's he saying right now? And I want to invite you to re-anchor yourself to his word. What has God said? That settles it, right? Francis Frangipane says this, any area of your life that isn't glistening with hope is under the influence of a lie. What is the thing you've given up hope for that you're called to pray for? I just felt so strongly, this is awkward because I'm asking you to give money to my thing, right? But I do truly feel today that for some of you, the giving is a prophetic act of you saying, I'm going to take a risk posture. And I felt strongly from the Lord to say to you, there's an invitation for you to give yourself into trust. Like if you were to ask me this morning, Nathan, how much should I give for your building? Well, first I'd say $1 million. Second, I would say, give yourself into trust. Give yourself into the ready position. I don't know, maybe that's $5. But whatever it is, this morning, ask the Holy Spirit, what are you asking me to give that brings me into my ready position where I can trust God? I just want really quickly, Kevin will take care of the details, but I just really quickly, here's the situation. I have a slide, but actually we need to update it because it says 800,000. That's actually, as of yesterday, that's 832,000. And so we need around 250 for closing. Don't worry about the renovation stuff right now. We need the money for closing. We're right there. And anyway, that's the need. If anybody has $250,000 in their pocket, I'll buy you lunch. Just kidding. But that's the need. That's the building. I mean, we put our little, that it doesn't actually look, that's what the building looks like, but we put our little stuff on there with AI. But anyway, can we just, Kevin's gonna make the offer, but I just wanna end this way. Thank you so much for being my family, for praying for us, for giving. I will say the backside, there's a side for a pledge. Don't discount that. Like if you're like, I don't have $200,000. If we had a bunch of people giving us $20 a month for a year, and that would pay the utilities for the first year while we grow into it, that is huge. I can't tell you how huge that is. So don't like say, oh, I can't be a part of it. You can if God's calling you to do it. Anyway, I love you guys. Thank you.